normal Poisson distribution for the animal population. It shows that most of the animals cluster around an average central value, and a few are either larger or smaller than the average at the tails of the curve. You'd expect that kind of graph, Malcolm said. Yes, any healthy biological population shows this kind of distribution. Now then, Arnold said, lighting another cigarette, are there any other questions? No, Malcolm said. I've learned what I need to know. As they were walking out, Gennaro said, It looks like a pretty good system to me. I don't see how any animals could get off this island. Don't you? Malcolm said. I thought it was completely obvious. Wait a minute, Gennaro said. You think animals have gotten out? I know they have. Gennaro said, But how? You saw for yourself. They can count all the animals. They can look at all the animals. They know where all the animals are at all times. How can one possibly escape? Malcolm smiled. It's quite obvious, he said. It's just a matter of your assumptions. Your assumptions? Gennaro repeated, frowning. Yes, Malcolm said. Look here. The basic event that has occurred in Jurassic Park is that the scientists and technicians have tried to make a new, complete biological world. And the scientists in the control room expect to see a natural world. As in the graph they just showed us. Even though a moment's thought reveals that nice, normal distribution is terribly worrisome on this island. It is? Yes. Based on what Dr. Wu told us earlier, one should never see a population graph like that. Why not? Gennaro said. Because that is a graph for a normal biological population, which is precisely what Jurassic Park is not. Jurassic Park is not the real world. It is intended to be a controlled world that only imitates the natural world. In that sense, it's a true park, rather like a Japanese formal garden, nature manipulated to be more natural than the real thing, if you will. I'm afraid you've lost me, Gennaro said, looking annoyed. I'm sure the tour will make everything clear, Malcolm said. The tour. This way, everybody, this way, Ed Regis said. By his side, a woman was passing out pith helmets with Jurassic Park labeled on the headband and a little blue dinosaur logo. A line of Toyota Land Cruisers came out of an underground garage beneath the visitor center. Each car pulled up, driverless and silent. Two black men in safari uniforms were opening the doors for passengers. 2 to 4 passengers to a car, please. 2 to 4 passengers to a car, a recorded voice was saying. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. 2 to 4 passengers to a car, please. Tim watched as Grant, Sattler, and Malcolm got into the first Land Cruiser with a lawyer, Gennaro. Tim looked over at Lex, who was standing, pounding her fist into her glove. Tim pointed to the first car and said, Can I go with them? I'm afraid they have some things to discuss, Ed Regis said. Technical things.
I'm interested in technical things, Tim said. I'd rather go with them.
Well, you'll be able to hear what they're saying, Regis said. We'll have a radio open between the cars. The second car came. Tim and Lex got in, and Ed Regis followed. These are electric cars, Regis said, guided by a cable in the roadway. Tim was glad he was sitting in the front seat, because mounted in the dashboard were 2 computer screens and a box that looked to him like a CD-ROM. That was a laser disc player controlled by a computer. There was also a portable walkie-talkie and some kind of a radio transmitter. There were 2 antennas.